Keep your Bibles open to Exodus chapter 3, if you will. And I want to give you a truth today that I got up this morning about 4:30 and I got to the shower. Before I hit the shower, I said, God, I just want to brag on you today. And this isn't a sermon that maybe will be as practical to you personally, but it ought to encourage you personally. And I want to help you today. Moses here in Exodus chapter 3 is 80 years old. You have to understand, Moses' life is broken down into three sections of 40 years each. 40 years, he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Then he left and went to the deserts of Midian because he had killed an Egyptian. Spent 40 years in the desert there, which is actually Saudi Arabia and southwestern Iran area. Then after that, that's where he saw the burning bush. And then he goes back and leads the Jews out of Egypt for the next 40 years. They wander in the wilderness and Moses dies because of his disobedience before they actually go in to the promised land. Now, Moses is 80 years old, and you have to understand, he spent those first 40 years, all but a few months, growing up in Egypt. By the way, Moses is his Egyptian name, not his Hebrew name. We don't even really know what his Hebrew name is. God never recorded it. And he grows up becoming known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By the way, God even called him by Moses. And he went by his Egyptian name the rest of his life. The Arabian Peninsula, which is where Saudi Arabia is today, and then just east of that a little ways over into Iran, Pakistan area there, that is the area of Midian. That's where Moses eventually met his wife, and he tended sheep for 40 years wandering in that desert. By the way, that is the very desert where the Jews wandered for 40 years. Moses knew it like the back of his hand. He had spent 40 years traveling with sheep from place to place to place to place in there. He knew where the watering holes were. He knew where all the things were that they needed, and he knew that place quite well. He was used to tending sheep there. God speaks to Moses from a burning bush, not me. All right? Been on fire once. That was one time too many. But he comes to Moses in a burning bush, and he says, Moses, he said, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want to use you to lead my people out of Egypt back to the land that I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the promised land of Israel, the land that flows with milk and honey. He said, I want to take you and you go back, and I want you to lead them out of Egypt. Now, think about this for a moment. Can you understand why Moses was a little reluctant to go back? The last thing he did in Egypt was kill somebody from Egypt. He's been a fugitive of the law for 40 years. How would you like to go back as a murderer and go stand before the Pharaoh and say, it doesn't matter what I did, you're going to let God's people go? Imagine how that's going to go over. If you remember the rest of the story, he then saw two Hebrews fighting one day, and they said, look, are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian? You think the Jews were going to trust Moses? He was Hebrew by birth, but he was Egyptian by his rearing. He wasn't accepted by the Egyptians or the Jews right now. You talk about a man without a country. I can understand why Moses may have been a little reluctant to go back. I don't know about you. But Moses then says, well, God, if I go. He said, your people are going to say, if I say God has sent me, they're going to say, well, what is his name? What should I tell them? If you know our God so much, What's his name? Now watch this. You have to understand, in Egypt, the Pharaoh was a god. The Egyptians worshipped many gods. But the supreme god of Egypt was Pharaoh. Who was next in line to be Pharaoh of Egypt? Moses. It could look like he was coming back to set himself up as God. Now, do you understand the story a little better? Making a little better sense? It's better than Hollywood any day, I promise you. Charlton Heston has nothing on God. Amen. Not only did he grow up in Egypt as a Jew, but as an Egyptian, he understood the way of the palace. I was explaining this to somebody recently. God needed Moses. He needed somebody that knew God, but also someone that understood the politics of having to get before Pharaoh and have the ability to stand before Pharaoh. If I told you that you needed to go to D.C. and get into the White House and get into the Oval Office and stand before Joe Biden, none of us have a chance. None of us want the chance. But either way, there, you don't have the know-how, the clearances, the credentials, and all the things necessary to do so. It wouldn't be any different in Egypt. You had to understand the processes to get there. And Moses, having grown up in the palace, understood those things. He knew where to go, how to get there, who to talk to, and what to say to get where he needed to be to do what God said. So it was a good thing in one way, and yet the Jews weren't going to trust him. So Moses says, okay, God, your people are going to ask me, what is your name? Who do I tell them hath sent me? Now watch this. Think through this. Moses is coming to take the Jews, all their cattle, all their sheep, all their belongings. By the way, they weren't slaves. They were just taxed very heavily. They had plenty of things. They weren't necessarily slaves, but not much more than that. And he's going to take 3.5 to 5 million people out of a country and take them to their own land. That would be like moving the city of Chicago around the Great Lakes into Canada. That might not be a bad idea. But it'd be the equivalent of moving the entire Chicago land area into another land. Think through that for a second. That's a big undertaking. Pharaoh was already worried that the Jews were outnumbering the Egyptians. It was getting a little serious. Now, he said, God, who do I tell him sent me? Look at verse number 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, it wasn't Popeye. I am that I am. All right. But God made it very specific. By the way, I want you to notice, and nothing in the Bible is by accident if you have a King James Bible. Notice that entire statement is capitalized. That is one name. God said, my name is I am. Not only is it that I am, he said, I am that I am. Not only are you talking to the I am God, but I am that you are talking to. powerful statement. Notice later it talks about, verse 15, God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And he goes through the generations of the patriarchs. He said, look, not only am I the God of your forefathers, but I am currently still God. I am the ever eternal present one. He said, just tell them the I am has sent you. Tell them that the same God back then, 40 years ago, or 500 years ago, sorry, 490 years, when Jacob left Israel to go to Egypt because of a famine, and they stayed there, he said, 500 years later, I am still God, and I still have the promised land available to them. Now, what a truth. Oh, how I love this truth. Who is your God? I am. He is the I am God. I'm not saying that I am God. I'm saying he is God. He didn't say the I was God. He didn't say the I will be God. He said, I am that I am. Did you know the same God that spoke this world into existence is still God today? Amen. Do you know the God of Adam is still God today? Do you know that the God of Abraham is still God today? The God of Noah is still God today? The God of Daniel is still God today? Hey, the same God that was in the beginning, he is the beginning, and he always was before the beginning. Guess what? He's still God today. Man, I love this truth. The Pharaoh of Egypt was actually God to the Egyptians. But I want you to notice something in Exodus chapter 5, verse number 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Everybody look at me for a moment. America was founded on Christian principles and biblical principles. I don't give a rip what the modern liberals tell you today. America was founded on biblical principles. We need to go back and not read what historians are saying. Let's go back and read what our forefathers themselves wrote. You'll find out, well, Thomas Jefferson, he was a deist and he didn't even believe in God. Did you know that he read the Bible every day? Well, Benjamin Franklin, he was a heathen. He didn't even believe in God. And yet, if you read the words of Benjamin Franklin, he talked about God and respected him. And you're believing what revisionists of history want you to believe to get America to turn to socialism and communism like we are today. We need to get back to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution together.
Amen.
Did you know that the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution work together? They're not two separate documents. And it's time we get back and reread it and we start repracticing it. We don't need new laws. Isn't it amazing how that the liberals say, well, we need new laws. They're the ones that broke the ones to begin with. Don't get me off on that already. Pharaoh looks at Moses and says, who is this God? I don't know who he is, and I'm a God in Egypt. Uh-oh. Who is the Lord that I should obey the voice and let Israel go? Well, Mr. Pharaoh, let me tell you something. You're about to find out who the I am God is. Mr. Pharaoh, you're about to find out what our God can do. You remember the 10 plagues? You know, the lice and the frogs and the flies and the water turning to blood, all those wonderful, nasty things. Did you know that every one of those plagues was putting down one of the false gods of Israel, of Egypt? They worshiped every one of those things. You say, well, what about the last one, the death of the firstborn? God saved the best for last. Guess what? The current Pharaoh had a son who was supposed to take the throne. And God struck down the next god of Egypt. Isn't it amazing what God can do? You know, it took 10 gods of Egypt to get struck down before Pharaoh said, get out of here. One by one, God was toppling them down like bowling pins, amen? And day after day, week after week, the gods of Egypt were collapsing under the power of the I Am God. Amen. Now, Mr. Pharaoh, you will die and be recorded in history. And you don't match up to the I Am God. You couldn't even tell me who this Pharaoh's name was. But we know who God's name is. God doesn't need any help to say what needs to be said. I wish preachers would quit putting their own personality, their own mentality, or lack thereof, into the Word of God to try to impress people with how smart they are. They're dumber than a box of rocks. I have no right to try to improve on that book right there. We just ought to preach it the way God wrote it. Amen. We really should. Well, how do we know that those are the Word of God? Well, it happened to say, and God said unto Moses. That means he heard it with his own ears. Go through the book of Ezekiel one of these days and find out how many times you see this phrase. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying. God spoke the words, man wrote it down. It didn't go through man's mind, and God and man said, well, I don't think God knows what he's saying here. I'm going to put it in my own words. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need more scholarship. We just need to go back to the old black book and read it and live it. Amen. Promise you. God doesn't need help with our language. He created it. Amen. God doesn't need help understanding man. He made us. Amen. We don't need psychology. We need bibliology. Amen. Now, I think man often thinks, like Pharaoh, that he can be his own God. And he can tell us what he thinks God means by something. Can I tell you what? I think God's capable to say what he means and mean what he says. Amen. I think we could trust God at his word more than we can trust sinful man, don't you? How about we just let God do the talking? Amen. We don't need to sound intelligent by making God sound like he speaks in mysteries. Those people, you know, those are like people trying to find ghosts in the dark somewhere. You say, well, preacher, don't you believe in ghosts? Nope. You say, you don't? Proven not to be there. I do believe in spiritual things, but you're never going to see them, and you don't have, but there's no way you can see them. We'll find out on a Wednesday night coming up here in a few weeks that God opened the eyes of a young man through Elisha and said, look, and he saw the host of angels round about, and they may have been there. He did not see them till God opened his eyes. But guess what? You're not going to find them with your Ghostbuster gun. Amen. Not going to happen. Hit you right where you live, didn't I? Now, wait a minute. I don't care about how intelligent I sound. How about we just let what God says make our intelligence for us? Amen. When God himself tells Moses to tell Pharaoh that the I Am sent you. When God tells Moses to tell his own people to tell them that the I am hath sent you. Guess what? God knew he was the I am God. Not only that, he says, Moses, not only am I the I am, he said, I am that I am. Very few things in Scripture are all in all capitalized letters. You have to understand in Greek and Hebrew, when they capitalize something, it adds emphasis. Just like when you're texting and it's all in caps, it's supposed to show emotion or strength. Or if you're like me, you hit the wrong button and leave it all in caps, and everybody thinks you're mad at them. No. You're yelling at me. I didn't say one word verbally. How could I be yelling at you? We've gotten away from things. Now, wait a minute. There's very few statements in the Bible other than a name, and even those names, only the first letter's capitalized. Only in reference to deity is the entire name capitalized. There are times in the Bible you'll see the word Lord, and it's small L-O-R-D, but when it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that means God. Anytime you see the whole name capitalized, it's in reference to God. Amen. You know, you capitalize the first letter of your name, but you don't capitalize every letter. Well, you capitalize every letter when it's God's name. Say why? Out of respect. Now, what does this mean, the I am? Are you ready? I'm about to shout. Took me longer to get through the introduction than it will the sermon, but I'm about ready to have a spill. Number one, God wanted his people and Pharaoh to know that he is ever present. He didn't say I was. He didn't say the God that used to be. He is not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the I am God. He is not just the God of Joseph. He is the God of the I am. He is not just the God of Noah, he still is the same God. He's not just the God of Adam, he is the I am God. God is the same God that was in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God. Guess what? He still is.
Amen.
In the beginning, God created. He is the creator. It's the same God, folks. God never changes. Man dies, but God never does. Man changes, but God never does. The same God of over 3,000 years before Moses is the same God in Genesis chapter 3. Can I tell you something? Aren't you glad that we have the same God Moses had? Did you know that some 3,000 years later, God's still the I am God? Somebody will say, well, don't you wish you lived in this day, live back in the days of Spurgeon or Moody? No, I'm glad I have the same God Spurgeon and Moody had.
Amen.
But I don't have to live back there to find out what they did. I have the same God they have.
Right.
I don't need to read their sermons. I just need to read the same book that they preached. I served under Dr. Jack Hiles, one of the greatest pastors the world has ever seen in world history. Can I tell you something? I loved Brother Hiles. I loved what he did. I loved him personally, knew him personally. But can I tell you something? I don't want to talk to Brother Hiles right now. He's been dead for 20 years. Say, don't you wish you could go back and talk to him one more time? Mm-mm, he'd been dead 20 years. Mm-mm. I'm not going to talk to somebody that's dead. I love my mama. She's been dead since last December, but if I go down to Pleasant View Cemetery and walk out near her grave and she starts talking, I'm leaving really fast. I'm getting out of there. Now, wait a minute. The same God Moses had known for the 3,000 years present or before then is the same God 3,000 years after Moses.
Amen.
He's still the I am God. Turn your Bible, Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. Look at verse number 6. Isaiah 44, verse number 6. You turn. I'm going to keep reading because I got to hurry. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. Notice, Lord is capitalized. And his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first. I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. Notice he said, I am. He said, I am the first. I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. Look at Isaiah 48, just a few pages over. Isaiah 48, verse number 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. Notice God saying, I am. He's saying, I am. I still am. By the way, Isaiah came many, 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 many years after Moses. And God's still saying, I am. Turn to Zephaniah chapter 2. You say, where's that? Go to Matthew and turn back a few pages. Go to Matthew, turn back a few pages. Zephaniah, not Zechariah, but Zephaniah. It's right before the Haggai. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse number 15. Y'all aren't there yet? Some of you didn't even know there was a book named Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse number 15, the Bible says this. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? And everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. There are people trying to claim they are the God I am. But notice what God does with them. He strikes them down. Now listen to me. The same God of the past is still the same God today.
Amen.
Do not believe what the liberals say. Well, we all worship the same God. He just has different names. That's wicked as the stinking devil.
That's right.
Number two, Pharaoh was a god, but not the eternal and not as powerful God.
Amen.
Guess what? Muhammad died and never resurrected.
That's right.
But I happen to serve a God who, after 3 days and three nights, up out of the grave, he came and he is alive today forevermore.
Right.
Buddha sat on with his fat belly on the mountain and died. They buried him and his bones are still in the grave. But guess what? Jesus got up out of the grave. They were not eternal. God is eternal. John chapter 6. Let me read a few verses to you out of the book of John. John chapter 6 verse number 35 says this. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Notice he said, I am the bread of what? Life. In other words, I am that which gives you sustenance, that which gives you nourishment to live, because I am always alive, because I am ever present. John chapter 8, verse number 12. John chapter 8, verse number 12 says this, bless you. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You can't be the light of life if you're dead. You can't give life if you're dead. John chapter 8, verse number 58 says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Guess what? He's still the same God.
Amen.
Glory. God used the plagues to throw down the false gods of Egypt. The death of the firstborn destroyed the next generation's God in Egypt.
Right.
By the way, that's why he wanted the Jews to do the Passover, so that their firstborn wouldn't die, to show the Egyptians that God is the I am God. That they didn't have to have man become God. Everybody doing all right? I'm about to shout here. God was showing the Jews that the I Am God would care for them on their journey all the way through the wilderness. Do you realize that trip was only supposed to take 2 or 3 weeks? Matter of fact, it did only take a couple weeks. They sent spies in. They sent 12 spies in, one from each tribe. And 10 said, oh, it's filled full of giants. We can't go in there. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. We can take them. We've got God on our side. We can do this. And they spent 40 days espying the land, came back and said, we can't do it. And the people voted and said, well, 10 said you can't. 2 said you can. We'll go with majority rule. And guess what? God said, all right, that'll be fine. But I'm going to take 1 year for every day they spent in the promised land. And you're going to wander in the wilderness. And everybody over the age of 20, except Joshua and Caleb, will die in this wilderness. And they spent 40 years in the wilderness because of that. Can I tell you something? Let's just obey God and not worry what everybody else says. I'm going to finish with this, but don't put your shoes on yet. Number 3. God is the I Am of many things in the Bible. God is the I Am of many things in the Bible. Things that God himself in his word says, I am. Now listen to this. God said, I am the root of David. God says, I am the morning star. God said, I am the Lion of Judah. God says, I am Alpha. God said, I am Omega. By the way, that's not COVID either. God said, I am the beginning and the ending. Isn't it amazing they're trying to attribute COVID with the word of God and God? God said, I am the beginning and the end. God said, I am the first. God said, I am the last. I was here at the beginning, and I'll be the last one to turn the lights out when you're done. Amen? God, and that's better than Motel 6. Although most everything's better than Motel 6. God said, I am faithful. God said, I am true. God said, I am the Word of God. God said, I am the Lamb, which taketh away the sin of the world. God said, I am the resurrection. God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God said, I am alive forevermore. God said, I am the King of kings and Lord of lords. God said, I am the Holy One of Israel. God said, I am the God Almighty. God said, I am the Prince of Peace. God said, I am Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting Father. God said, I am the High Priest. Can I tell you something? We serve the I Am God today.
Amen.
Say, preacher, what about all these churches that are closing down? What about all these religions that are waning right now? They're serving a God that was, not the God that is.
Amen.
They're trying to use temple worship that Jesus did away with and started the church, and they're following the dead religion that crucified Jesus. Everybody doing all right? Can I tell you something? God is the I Am God. I'm so glad I serve a living God. Man, I get excited. I get tired of Christians who, well, we need to be careful not to offend. Well, their filthy lifestyle offends me.
Amen.
Their filthy lifestyle and sinfulness offends God.
Right.
How about somebody stand up for Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. I love it. There's a story of a famous infidel who would publicly in Chicago stand in downtown Chicago and blaspheme God. And one day the University of Chicago football team was getting ready to go to practice, and this infidel was standing there with a large crowd. This guy was up there talking about, if God's really there, let him strike me dead in 5 minutes. And he starts counting down. He starts spewing profanity to God. And one of the Christian players on the University of Chicago football team, by the way, at that time, University of Chicago was a Christian college. He had had enough. He was a big old lineman. Put his helmet on, had his pads on. That infidel, he said, there's 1 minute left, God. If you're really there, strike me dead. And that old lineman took off. He got him about a 40-yard run and came up and just blasted the guy right off the little podium that he was standing on and threw him about 10 yards back. Drilled him right down in the ground. Stood over top of him and said, God was busy and sent me instead. Pow! I like that. I like that. God's busy right now. It's time for us to stand up and do it for him.
Amen.
Now, you ready for the end? I'm about ready to come unscrewed. John chapter 18, let me read something to you. Woo, doggy. John chapter 18, verse number 6 says this. And as soon as he said unto them, I am he. Ooh, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they came to get him and said, art thou Jesus of Nazareth? He said, I am he. Watch this. They went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he to them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. That proves Jesus is God.
Amen.
The moment he said, I am he, they all fell on their face before a holy God. Matter of fact, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. What a God we serve, folks. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. As dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Guess who that is? That's Jesus. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the I am God. Jesus is the I am. By the way, John chapter 1, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You've got to go through the ever eternal present God, not the I was God. The United States government is not the I am.
Amen.
The World Health Organization is not the I am. They're not even the I could be. The CDC is not the I am. We have the great physician. Dr. Fauci doesn't even qualify as the I am. Get ready, here it comes. Public education in higher education is not the I am. Mr. McCullough, parents are not terrorists because they want to know what their children are being taught.
Amen.
How about we quit propagandizing and start teaching truth?
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? I said, preacher, aren't you afraid of some things? Not in the least bit. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Religion is not the I am.
Amen.
The Pope is not the I am. He has no business speaking in the place of God. All he's got to do is open a King James Bible and read what God says. You don't have to have the Council of Cardinals every 5 to 10 years to decide what new doctrines you're going to have. God didn't change. I am the Lord God. I change not.
Amen.
We don't need to change God. We need to change man to be what God said. You and your own goodness are not the I am. Well, I'll get to heaven my way, preacher. No, you're not. You'll die and go to hell. I didn't say it. God's word did. You have to submit your own righteousness, which is unrighteousness, to the righteousness of Jesus Christ and accept the I am God. By the way, that's why in Genesis chapter 3, when man sinned, God, look, watch this for a second. Jesus told God the Father, tell you what, if man sins and when he sins, I will go be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, live his righteousness, die, shed my blood, suffer man's hell, conquer death, and put my blood on the mercy seat, and you can seal it. That's why folks in the Old Testament could get saved looking ahead to Calvary and didn't need Jesus to do it because Jesus was good at his word.
Amen.
We look back at it. They looked ahead towards it. Guess what? I guess we ought to trust the I am God. I guess we ought to believe the I am God. And since he is the word of God, let's not change it. Let's get back to the real word of God. Say, preacher, that's a little different kind of sermon. Yep, because we serve the I am God. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, yes, yes, yes. But far more than that, we serve the I am God. We serve the God of creation. Oh, yes, we do. But he's far more than that. He's the same God. I don't care what preacher in history. I don't care what generation of history you look back to and say, boy, I wish we had that. Can I tell you something? We have the same God.
Amen.
What are you worried about? Well, they've never had anything like this. We've had COVID. Have you seen what God did to Egypt? Have you seen some of the things that have happened throughout history? This is nothing new. They're just using it to put over our heads. That's why God said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. We're the ones that are supposed to have the sound mind. Have you seen some of these idiots and what they're saying? Say why? Because when you lead by fear, guess who didn't give the spirit of fear? God. That only leaves one other power. That's the devil. He leads by fear. How about we just trust the I am God? The I am God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Put your hands down. Virtually every hand. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. Maybe you just need to come to an old-fashioned altar and thank God for who he is. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that today. We are going to have someone baptized today. You won't be alone, I promise you. But maybe you've been saved and never baptized. We could take care of that. We've got everything you need. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you come.